The Crude Life with host Jason Spiess.
I never let the Joker out my sight. Never went broke on an all or nothing. Never made a bet so out of line till I met you and I hit the ground running. And I must say, I've never seen so much weakness in one place. They put the 20-inch bicep with no strength, cause you've been wrapping it around all the wrong things.
Go to the phone line. We've got Mr. Doug Wiles. Is that how we pronounce the last name? W-I-L-E-S?
Yeah, Wiles.
Wiles, excellent. And you're the Bismarck Forestry Director, Director of the Forest. I'm sorry, I don't have my notes in front of me. I do apologize.
That's okay. I'm the city forester for the city of Bismarck.
Guy in charge of the trees. How's that?
Yep.
All right. So, hey, let's talk a little bit about the city of Bismarck and the tree programs you have and just the what you do for a job. You know, it's Wattage Wednesday here as I'm filling in on 1270 AM Super Talk. But at the same time, this is going to be podcasted across the Crude Life Media Network as well. And because of Wattage Wednesday, one of the things that a lot of oil and gas companies are doing right now, as well as other energy companies, they're planting trees. And with the industrial forest, we've got some exciting things we're going to be announcing here in the next month involving the city of Bismarck, as well as a city down in Oklahoma, where I'm at right now. And also, Mr. Doug Wiles has been a part of this journey and this process. So we'd like to introduce him a little bit to a lot of the different oil and gas companies across the United States with the Crude Life podcast and that media network, but also right in the city of Bismarck, where this is also being broadcast and the surrounding areas. How long have you been in Bismarck and working in the forest industry, I guess, in the tree industry?
Sure. I've been in Bismarck since winter of 2015. So just 6 years, 6.5 years or so.
You came right during that cold snap, huh? Boy.
Oh, yeah. That winter was a shock for us. I'm not a North Dakota native, so that was an eye-opening winter in 16, right after we moved in. So.
And where are you from?
I'm from Missouri.
Okay. See, now, I did an article for the Bismarck Tribune called The Cold Hard Facts, and it was, I believe, the sixth coldest winter on record. And there was like 45 days of below zero temperature, air temperature, and like 60-some days of below zero wind temperature. But the thing that really stood out to me was the interviews I did with the people in the oil and gas industry that were 150 feet up in the air, putting, you know, new pipe and drill bits and that kind of thing on. And then the truckers. Man, it was so cold. Their diesel trucks were gelling up on the interstate. That is cold. Holy smokes, man. How does a tree survive during that cold, cold times, huh? You like how I did that? Look at that transition.
That was a good segue, yeah. You know, most of the trees that thrive in the northern plains are our native trees. Most of the trees that are cultivars or, you know, introduced, they don't tend to do well. You know, some of our maple trees and things like that haven't evolved in this climate in this region. They don't survive. So we have our American elms, our green ashes, box elder. You know, those are the trees that can make it through those harsh times as they've evolved with this climate.
You know, one of the things that I appreciated about our meetings is you kind of understand where I'm coming from. I'm not trying to be combative. I'm not trying to say that, you know, the old way was the wrong way. What I'm trying to say is let's look at the new way when we're going to build a park, when we're going to plant a forest, when we're going to do these different types of biodiversity things or permaculture. And what I mean by that is I felt one of the things that we connected on right away, Doug, was the old way isn't really the best way to do it anymore, where let's go plant 800 elm trees and call it a year. Let's go plant 2,000 box elder trees the next year and call it a year. That was kind of the old way. Now we're starting to look at the permacultures and the biodiversity and just how it's good to have a mix of different trees. Is there still the growing pains that I'm talking about, you know, with the old kind of mindset of way we used to do things and how the new way is being introduced?
I don't know that growing pains accurately describes you know, that thought process. But we're definitely still seeing the effects of the old way of planting, where we were planting all ash trees. Once we got Dutch elm disease, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s, green ash was planted because it was supposed to be the next great tree. Now we have emerald ash borer on the horizon for North Dakota, and most of the states in our country already are dealing with emerald ash borer, and it's, it probably will kill, I'm not exaggerating, if the trees aren't treated, it'll kill all of our ash trees in the city, and that's substantial. We have about 28% of our trees managed by the city, so that's boulevard trees and park trees. About 28% of our trees are ash trees, so that's about 6,300, roughly. If some of those are not treated, we will lose them all, and that's going to cost the city a substantial amount of dollars in the removal and the replanting process. So we're still seeing the effects of that, model of reforestation or planting trees mm-hmm. in communities. And biodiversity or diversity has been pushed for quite a while now. So we try to keep our species that we're planting within certain percentages of our urban forests. We try not to get, once we reach a threshold of about 10% of our canopy cover being of one species, we try to redirect citizens to look at other species of trees so that we have that diversity, and that in return makes our forest more resilient to pest and disease.
Were you at the meeting we had with Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring? I can't remember.
A lunch meeting, I believe.
Yeah, that lunch meeting, it was very informal, just kind of kicking it off, getting the different ideas in the room to come at different areas. And one of the things that I took away from that very informal meeting was the willow tree. Because I love me a good willow tree. I used to swing on those as a kid, and at my grandma's, there was a willow tree and a walnut tree. And I learned about the walnut tree as a kid because they've got a certain sort of root system that's a self-defense mechanism that releases a toxin that doesn't allow a certain amount of vegetation or plants to compete with the root system. That's really cool. That is just one of the most neat nature technologies I've ever heard in my life. Well, then, go ahead.
It's called allelopathy, and they produce a compound called juglone, which eliminates competition underneath their canopy. So,
yeah, whatever you said, right? Yeah, okay. Here you go, folks. You get two different versions. You get the goofus and the gallant. I'm the goofus, he's the gallant. All right. Trust me, the results are in. I am the goofus. So let's go to the willow tree. The thing that I took away from just that informal meeting was I didn't realize the willow tree sucked up as much nutrients as they did, and that's why farmers have to be very particular about where their willow trees go. Is that a problem in the city?
No, we don't see a lot of willow trees. They're great if you're trying to manage stormwater, because they take in a whole lot of water. They help stabilize banks and stuff like that, but we don't typically see those in our urban forests. It's just not a tree that's popular, and we try to be very selective about where we would plant those. It's a very fast growing tree, and usually trees that grow quickly often have a weaker branch system, so you get a lot of breakage during wind events, which we have a lot of. So we're just very conscious of where we would allow that tree to be planted.
Yeah, and that's what I took away from that when I started thinking about the eastern side of the state in Fargo. The willow trees are primarily on the banks of the river. That's just where you see them in that, either actually mostly in the Minnesota side too, which is a little bit less clay-like than what is on the North Dakota side with the Red River. One of the only rivers that flows north, by the way, just kind of a weird, I don't even know why. Do you know why that is, just offhand, just pop quiz here on a Wednesday?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
Think about a river flowing north.
Yeah, I've never really actually come to terms with a satisfactory answer on that. So I might have to watch the History Channel and see what the ancient aliens think. That's usually where you end up going in the end, right? When you start searching for answers.
I assume it has to do with slope and which side of the divide they're on.
As we go to break, folks, this is Elma Cook with her big, giant hit that she performed last summer with children on stage at the Bakken Barbecue with candles to symbolize emission management and flaring. This is Elma Cook singing about 5,000 candles.
More than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
Folks, you're never going to believe this, but MyPillow has gone doggone crazy. If you go to MyPillow right now and click on the special radio listeners link, you will have unbelievable specials for your best friend and yourself, too. Let's not forget about the $20 pillow to go along with these doggone crazy prices, like the pet blanket as low as $19.59 with the promo code Otis, or how about the MyPillow dog bed as low as $19.99, and their new product, Bleed Clot Pet, is flying off the shelves. It's ideal for dogs, cats, birds, and other pets. Folks, you are going to want to take advantage of this doggone crazy sale happening right now at MyPillow.com. Click on the radio specials link, and you'll get deep discounts on all kinds of MyPillow products, including these doggone crazy prices. Do not forget to use the promo code Otis.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
I never let the Joker out my sight. Never went broke, I'm an all or nothing. Never made a bet so out of line till I met you and I hit the ground running. And I must say, I never.
Hey everybody, this is Ken Lavin. I'm live here at the MidCon Doug, and I am actually with a very special guest, actually a big friend of ours in the industry, a Mr. Ward Polzine. Did I say that correctly?
You got it. You got it. That's perfect.
Okay. And tell everybody at home who you are with.
Yep. So I'm CEO of Camino Natural Resources, and Camino is based in both Denver and Oklahoma City. We are an Oklahoma operating company in the scoop and the merge. So today, these days, we're about 50,000 BOE a day and 150,000 acres, running three rigs with 85 employees working hard. So everything's going well.
Well, I was going to give a big shout out to the employees out there. Thank you for all that y'all do. Thank you for letting me borrow your CEO here to get to interview and kind of humanize our industry. Really get to meet people and figure a thing out. You gave a big background just then about how you got the three rigs going and everything. What kind of the four questions I've been asking leaders like yourself? With that three rigs, do you see some more expansion from you all?
Yeah, I think for us, with three rigs, we just added this third kind of approximately the middle of last year. So we're going to see production growth this year in 2022 of about 20% over 2021. And then even if we keep those three rigs, just keep those flat over a give or take 5-year period, we'll have about a 10 to 15% growth rate. So we definitely see we're not trying to grow massively, but we're definitely trying to grow. Yep, for sure.
Grow smart.
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it. Grow smart. I like that. I'm going to steal that. I like it.
Grow smart. Absolutely. So what do you think is something that our industry needs to get behind for this year?
for this year. I mean, I think there's the things that we're kind of already behind, you know, that I would put off, like ESG and all that. I know that's in addition to that, right? We're doing that extremely well. I think getting behind, clearly with the oil prices as high as they are today, with the kind of tragedy of what Ukraine is, we need to be really careful, right? That those higher oil prices don't bring some unintended consequences to our industry. So we just need to keep doing what we do extremely well and kind of adding a little bit of production where we can. Absolutely.
Absolutely. What is something that, what is something that you can tell the hardworking guys out there on the rigs, out there on the fracs, productions, what is something that you can tell them to really motivate them for this year?
I think, first of all, we collectively, whether you're out in the field, you're in the office, we are doing what we need to do to help our country, right? And to provide energy of every, you know, obviously we do oil and gas, but our country, our economy needs energy of all types. And we're not going to be transitioning away from oil and gas anytime soon. We've all got jobs for a long time, quite frankly. So it's more of the same, keeping our head down and doing a great job every day, and we're doing it. It's we're not going anywhere, I think, is what I would say to everyone in our business.
I like that, guys. We're not going anywhere. Keep doing what you're doing. We really appreciate it. So I'm gonna ask. I had heard, little birdie told me, you were just come back from somewhere. Can you tell us a little bit where that somewhere is? I'm excited because a lot of people don't realize that, kind of like myself doing the industry here and YouTube and reporting, that it got me to where I'm at here, sitting with wonderful guests like yourself. Tell us a little bit about this, where you came from. Where'd you go recently?
Well, I appreciate that. My wife and I just got back from 30 days in Antarctica, and it was a trip of a lifetime, and I think there's some consistencies I think a lot of us have in our industry. We're outdoors people. We like animals. We like geology, you know, all of that, and that's what Antarctica brought. It brought geology. It brought animals. It got being out there. So 30 days is a long time. It's a lot. We went 8,000 miles on a ship, but all around the South Atlantic as well, to the Falkland Islands and South Georgia Island, and I think lots of things stood out. Penguins galore and as well as icebergs, all of that. But I think at one point we were in a colony of 200,000 penguins. And to be, they smell as bad as you think, and they're as loud as you think as well. But there's no predators on land for a penguin, so they're not scared of you. So it's great to get up that close and just to see wildlife and nature and geology. So I was definitely geeking out on all those kind of things.
Yeah. You use my word. I say geeking out all the time. That's perfect. And next time, please pack me in your suitcase, especially my wife. She is a huge penguin fan, or the puffins. She loves the puffins. Yeah. So, that is amazing. What was probably, so was the penguins the most exciting thing you saw, or was there something else?
I think for me, actually, the most exciting thing I saw was we were able to get off. This is at 2 a.m. in the morning in deep Antarctica on the fast ice, and the fast ice is actually the frozen ocean, not like glacier ice, but so you're walking on like 4 foot thick ice, then you've got 1,000 feet of water below you, and just that concept of wow, we can do this. That's what was resonated with me. Very, very cool. And it was at 2 a.m. in the morning, and it was not bright sunshine, but definitely not dark.
Wow. Yeah. That, again, I'm nerding out or geeking out. That is amazing. Guys, this, again, bringing you wonderful, amazing guests, getting to an opportunity to talk with them and see with them what they see, what they do. Is there anything that you would like to put out there, people to get in touch with you guys? If there's anything that you guys are needing by chance, is there a good email or website that they can get in touch with the company?
Yeah, sure. I think you can just really reach out to me directly. Our website's purposefully terrible, so I've had lots of comments about that we can't find much about you, and that's kind of by choice. We're not trying to hide, but I'd rather, I'm more personal, still old school. So yeah, please reach out to me directly, and it's real simple. It's just WPOLZIN at Camino Resources, and we love our partners, and we work well with others, and we want to continue to do that. So please reach out.
Well, again, thank you very much, Ward. Very much appreciated. Guys, thank you again on this wonderful episode, and we will catch you on the next one.
Thank you, Ken.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio at thecrudelife.com.
Years. First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
Folks, you're never going to believe this, but MyPillow has gone doggone crazy. If you go to MyPillow right now and click on the special radio listeners link, you will have unbelievable specials for your best friend and yourself, too. Let's not forget about the $20 pillow to go along with these doggone crazy prices, like the pet blanket as low as $19.59 with the promo code Otis, or how about the MyPillow dog bed as low as $19.99? And their new product, Bleed Clot Pet, is flying off the shelves. It's ideal for dogs, cats, birds, and other pets. Folks, you are going to want to take advantage of this doggone crazy sale happening right now at MyPillow.com. Click on the radio specials link, and you'll get deep discounts on all kinds of MyPillow products, including these doggone crazy prices. Do not forget to use the promo code Otis.
The Crude Life with Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out. Still some of us every night we make a toast to you, like isn't it nice that somebody had the presence of mind to speak up for you. Let there
be. Dwayne Ferris with Black Creek Canine Pipeline Leak Detection.
Thank you for joining the program here today. Let's get an update on how the world of canine pipe detection is going, leak detection. So first of all, just an overview of the company, canines, you know, dogs. So let's describe what it is you do and how you're involved with the oil and gas industry.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, like we are currently going into our fourth year of business, providing a non-invasive leak detection methodology using the canine nose, the olfaction system. So basically, when operators are in doubt and they cannot find that leak that's given some trouble and not allowing them the possibility to pass their hydro test to get things signed off so they can get things up and going, we get those calls, and we utilize our specialized trained leak detection dogs to sniff out these leaks. And we have a couple different methodologies that dogs are trained on, different odorants that can be injected into their pipelines and or hydrocarbon type of detection work. So that is kind of what we've been doing the last 4 years, and slowly getting things perfected and coming up with some different methodologies and techniques and traveling the United States.
Do you have one dog? Do you have three dogs? How many, I guess, explain the dogs and the relationships and, you know, the longevity. Is it one you've had the whole time or?
Well, the longevity, yeah, we started out with one leak detection dog. From there, we've multiplied up to six specialized leak detection dogs. We do have other services that we utilize different dogs for example, like narcotics, explosives, and firearms detections. But those are specialized for those traditional detection methodologies. So, yeah, we're up to six, and I actually got a seven-month-old Dutch Shepherd named Cera, C-E-R-A, short for Cerebus, who's currently in training to hopefully walk those right-of-ways here sometime, maybe later on this summer or early fall.
Did you say Dutch Shepherd?
Dutch Shepherd, yes, sir.
Now, that's the actual name, or is that just you being me? Because that's how I describe some of these dogs, and I get corrected all the time. You know, like the I say the Belgian Shepherd, and, of course, that's not the real name. It's the Belgian, what's the other?
The Belgian Malinois.
Thank you. It's much easier to say Shepherd, so I say Shepherd. And then there's the Japanese Shepherd, but that's not the actual real name of it. So anyway, it's Dutch Shepherd. Okay, great. It actually worked out. My dumbness worked out on some of the dog names, because sometimes when you're doing radio or podcasting, you try to dumb it down, you know, a little bit for the average person. And then I try to bring it back up, you know, So I did want to ask you about the different specific types of dogs. Now, I mentioned the Belgian, and how do you pronounce that second word again?
The Belgian Malinois.
Yes, and then there's the there's the Czechoslovakian Shepherd as well, and those two look very similar. And those are your traditional police dogs, correct?
Right. Yeah, you'll see those more or less for law enforcement and military. Those are your traditional working breeds out there for those that type of work for these dogs.
So now, are German Shepherds still around, or have they pretty much gravitated to the the household pet now?
No, I think you'll still see some German Shepherds out there that are doing that kind of work also, like I said, for military and law enforcement. So we even see the Shepherd mix with the Belgian Malinois too. So all depends on what country they are produced from and shipped from, and depending on what the organization in hand are looking for their type of dog to be utilized.
Now, when it comes to pipeline sniffing dogs, is there a specific breed that stands out over the rest? I know when you're tracking humans, a lot of times the bloodhound seems to be the preferred for people.
Right. Yeah. Now, well, for us, basically, I've got everything from a black lab. I've got a couple Malinois and some Shepherd mixes, like I said, that are Shepherd and Malinois mix, and then this new Dutchie. So, no, we really don't have a favorite per se. So a lot of our dogs that we get through our network of friends within the business. So as long as they got the attributes that we're looking for and the drive, the wanting to be out there in the environment, the open air and these fields and push through different caverns and ditches and thorns and just be able to want to be able to work, you know, minus with all this distractions and environmentals going on, they tend to work out pretty good for us. So a lot of conditioning goes into these dogs to be able to work too. So
in one of my former lives, I did a nighttime show, and during the nighttime show, of course, we'd have longer format interviews, and I had on a bomb-sniffing dog, if you will, expert, a gentleman who trains them from New York State, and we got into all kinds of different, you know, from training dogs to sniff money. He's trained, you know, grandpa's got the money buried in the backyard, so the kids pool enough money together, train a dog to specifically go sniff up money and that type of stuff. And, you know, cancer sniffing dogs and all these different types of dogs. How are you looking at the dogs? I look, you know, the word work comes out. And for me, honestly, we're trying to stay in the oil and gas world, of course, with this podcast. But at the same time, the energy world, the oil and gas world, is everything. And with this ESG movement, I look at these dogs as being the bridge for people to understand the oil and gas industry. You know, a dog is a great connector. And so how are you looking at the dogs in the term of this? Do you see it as marketing? Do you see it as just your employees? You know, are they, you know, I mean, talk to me a little bit about your relationship with the dogs.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, our relationship is definitely twofold. Yes, they are our working dogs. It is our business, right? So without them, we're not able to do the services that we advertise and market out there. And they are. They're incorporated within our family unit also. So everything from traveling with us, with her kids, just having a home life too. So it's kind of unique and awesome little experience having these type of dogs with us, to be able to have both that companion, right, and see them grow and get them at young ages. And not only that, but be able to grow and be around our kids and families and friends, and just kind of bring that spark that a lot of us that get into this kind of work with working dogs really strive to have and mold and build on. I do. The having dogs is a huge marketing thing, right? So when people see the dogs, they're really interested, especially on the type of look, right? And so part of it too is the marketing, staying with some of the Belgian Malinois, your Dutch Shepherds, your German Shepherds, your Labs, and you know, people have their own reasoning for being drawn to these animals that have provided just a plethora of support, be in work or emotional or detection or what have you. So
I know that mm-hmm. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, and just being able to provide this stuff as more in the oil and gas industry, but you're right. I mean, the industry is made up of such a different array of different things out there, from technology to detection pretty darn quick. And when you're talking about like preventive maintenance or whatnot, once a week, once a month, there I've got several operators, and that's part of our program that we implemented, was going out every few weeks and knocking out these certain amount of lines that need to be sniffed, right? They need to be inspected for external leaks. And they decided to, we did some cost comparisons, see some proficiencies, how it relates to production. Do they have to shut things down, pressure her up? Well, they figured out the dog and utilizing us is going to be way cheaper on majority of their lines that needed to be tested per se. And that's what we're doing. So, and that varies. I mean, that can vary on how many lines that the operators are looking to have done via a canine sniff.
How do people get in touch with you, find out more about your business?
Oh, pretty simple. So just we're on Google. We're on every social media platform out there with Black Creek Canine Pipeline Leak Detection. You can even look me up by Dwayne Ferris with BC Canine Services, and or reach out and give me a call at 817-771-0008.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio at thecrudelife.com. But in the meantime, I've left behind something that I can't forget. It's short fibers are turning tidy, your fibers are burning bright. Short fibers are turning tidy, your fibers are burning bright.
More than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
Folks, you're never going to believe this, but MyPillow has gone doggone crazy. If you go to MyPillow right now and click on the special radio listeners link, you will have unbelievable specials for your best friend and yourself, too. Let's not forget about the $20 pillow to go along with these doggone crazy prices, like the pet blanket as low as $19.59 with the promo code Otis, or how about the MyPillow dog bed as low as $19.99, and their new product, Bleed Weed Clot Pet is flying off the shelves. It's ideal for dogs, cats, birds, and other pets. Folks, you are going to want to take advantage of this doggone crazy sale happening right now at MyPillow.com. Click on the radio specials link, and you'll get deep discounts on all kinds of MyPillow products, including these doggone crazy prices. Do not forget to use the promo code OTIS.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running around that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out. Still some of us every night we make a toast to you, like isn't it nice that the body and the presence of mind is big old for you. Let there be light.
All right, let's go to the phone line where we have Kunal Patel on. He's with the Dallas Federal Reserve. Fresh off the press, March 23rd, 2002. It's the oil and gas expansion accelerates as outputs improve significantly. Let me try that one more time. Oil and gas expansion accelerates as outlooks improve significantly. Kunal Patel with the Federal Reserve. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Thank you for joining the program here today to talk a little bit about this survey. First of all, the quick pitch of what the survey is, and then we'll get right into it.
Definitely, Jason. So we at the Dallas Fed, we run a quarterly upstream survey of about 200 oil and gas firms. They must be located or headquartered in our district or Federal Reserve District. That's Texas, Southern New Mexico, and Northern Louisiana. And we run the survey quarterly. Towards the end of each quarter, you know, it gets released. And for this current survey, the data was collected March 9th to the 17th, and 141 energy firms responded.
A lot of shale plays, a lot of traditional plays in Texas. Where is the bulk of the drilling?
I mean, you can almost assume, because like more than half of the rigs, I think, in the U.S., I may need to fact check that, are in the Permian Basin, that the activity is going to be centered in the Permian Basin. Although the companies that we do have on the survey do operate locally, nationwide, and internationally. One way you can kind of tell where there is most of the activity is from the break-even questions that we ask every first quarter of the year. And when you look at the responses, quite a share come from the Permian Basin. Just eyeballing it, about half of the responses are Permian Basin related, and then the other half are the many other basins in the U.S.
When it comes to the Eagle Ford, I always got to ask about that. Haynesville, of course, those are out of Texas. If you'd like to comment on that, that's fine. But the break-even point is where I'd like to go next is, a lot of people are wondering, with the price of oil and the drilling isn't like it was before. We actually were posing the question. We started it last August. Is $100 oil the new $50 oil? And what we were trying to do is start the critical thinking of inflation and how I don't think $100 oil is going to be Bonanzaville anymore. Did you guys touch on that? You mentioned the break-even point. So did price come up? Did $100 oil come up? Anything along those lines?
So definitely, so when it comes to the break-evens, if we take the average of the sample, it's $56 per barrel. The question we asked our executives was, what WTI oil price does your firm need to profitably drill a new well? So the average across the sample was $56 per barrel. We then put them into specific basins or groups, and then the range is from 48 to 69. I don't think this is surprising. You know, almost all the firms in the survey can profitably drill at the current price. And of course, if you're a larger firm, your break-even's a little bit lower. The average we found was $49 per barrel. And then among the larger firms are $49 per barrel. These are firms that produce 10,000 barrels a day of more of crude. And then the smaller firms, which are less than 10,000 barrels a day of crude production, it's $59 per barrel. So I don't think that's a surprise, Jason. I think what you're really thinking about is, you know, with the current price environment, what you'd expect for growth. And so we did ask a question around, from the fourth quarter of 2021 to the fourth quarter of 2022, what is your firm thinking about your crude oil production growth? And again, going back to these large firms and small firms, the large firms are targeting a 6% median growth rate for the year, and then the small firms are targeting a 15% growth rate. So, you know, large firms, single digit, mid, small firms, double digit. And so it depends on, just like you mentioned, bonanza, right? What exactly is a bonanza? You know, without a doubt, these firms are looking to grow. But when it comes to the price, we did ask a special question around what WTI intermediate crude oil price is necessary to get publicly traded U.S. producers back in growth mode. And you know, 40% said $80 to $99 per barrel. An additional 20% said $100 to $119. But then 29% said it's not dependent on price. There are other factors that are likely to get producers back into growth mode that are publicly listed. But you know, it's just like you mentioned, you know, in the higher price environment, there is growth as suggested by the survey. It just depends on, would it be defined as a bonanza? And we'll be monitoring it closely. We appreciate everyone checking it out. As always, you know, it is open to the public. And so if you're an executive in our region and you'd like to join our survey, on the public release on the right-hand side, there's a link to join. And so we're always looking to hear perspectives from people in industry.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio at thecrudelife.com.
As we go to break, folks, this is Elma Cook with her big, giant hit that she performed last summer with children on stage at the Bakken Barbecue with candles to symbolize emission management and flaring. This is Elma Cook singing about 5,000 candles. My name is Jason Spies. We'll see you next week.
Loving you the way that I do, because who could love somebody like you? They say you're too damn small, and I won't pretend it don't matter at all. But no matter what the trouble ahead, still won't regret this time that I spent. Sad to behold, nothing you could do would make me go. We'll let the world judge what they don't know. Giving me a heartbeat, making me never want to leave.
More than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
Folks, you're never going to believe this, but MyPillow has gone doggone crazy. If you go to MyPillow right now and click on the special radio listeners link, you will have unbelievable specials for your best friend and yourself, too. Let's not forget about the $20 pillow to go along with these doggone crazy prices, like the pet blanket as low as $19.59 with the promo code Otis, or how about the MyPillow dog bed as low as $19.99, and their new product, Bleed Clot Pet, is flying off the shelves. It's ideal for dogs, cats, birds, and other pets. Folks, you are going to want to take advantage of this doggone crazy sale happening right now at MyPillow.com. Click on the radio specials link, and you'll get deep discounts on all kinds of MyPillow products, including these doggone crazy prices. Do not forget to use the promo code Otis.